May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Please do be seated. During this week, during Holy Week, we had at this table a prayer station that related the account we have just heard of the Last Supper. Well, from the Gospel of Matthew, actually. And then a short note said that from this simple meal, from the bread and wine, the Eucharist came, Holy Communion, as it is also known, and the Last Supper. This meal that we will share when we remember Jesus' actions, his words that were spoken. The blessing on this simple food of bread and wine that become for us his body and blood, so we, us, all can become one. Not only with each other, one body, but we also become one with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, our Saviour. We all become one body. I mentioned the name of the Eucharist for this meal, and this word comes from the Greek word Eucharistia, meaning thanksgiving. This act of thanksgiving is for God, for the gift of life, for the gift of Jesus and all he did for us in going to the cross, and for all that God has done and continues to do for us. Much to give thanks for. We had another prayer station here too this past week, one which invites us to sit and reflect on the account of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus had shared the Last Supper, washed their feet, Jesus, the servant king, and Judas had gone off to betray Jesus. Jesus knew this was happening, and he knew what was going to happen next. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prays to God. The disciples who had gone with Jesus fall asleep. Of course they do. They are tired and weary, and they do not realize the enormity of the moment. Jesus knows this. He is disappointed they can't just stay awake with him, but he does not give up on them. He just goes off to pray on his own. And he asks God, is it possible to take this away from him? The great task that he must go through with, of going to the cross. But no reprieve comes. Jesus is aware that he will be going through with it. Jesus knew he was here on earth for a purpose, and so he follows it through. In the Gospel of John 15, verse 13, we hear, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And Jesus mentions love in our gospel reading that we heard today. He says, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. On the one hand, it can be strange to think that we need to be commanded to love one another. Surely loving others should be the easiest of tasks. Being kind and considerate should be the easiest of things. Fighting and being at battle should be the hardest. All the conflict and the unrest. But it seems looking around the world, at the news, looking at events in the UK, and indeed within our own lives, simply to say we should love one another is not easy. But it is a commandment from God, from Jesus. And as we know from reading accounts of Jesus' life on earth, loving people is not always an easy ride. Maybe if we all did things, it would be different if we all loved each other. I used to lead a kindergarten of children aged 3 to 6 years, and I remember a young 3-year-old joining us, a lovely little chappie. And one day, in his early days there, he punched out at another child in his frustration over their play. And an older child of 6 just gently said to him, oh, we don't punch or hit in the kindergarten. And the older boy helped sort out the play. Imagine if we lived in a world where we could trust that we could sort things out with words, with love and respect. Maybe that is what we need, such a world. Maybe that is what God intended for us here on earth. What Jesus went to the cross for, to open the gates of the eternal kingdom where such a world exists. And in the meantime, we learn from Jesus by his actions here on earth. At the supper, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. It is often reenacted during services on Maundy Thursday, but not tonight. And Jesus said, "Do you know what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set an example that you also should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, slaves are not greater than their master, nor messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Loving, caring, being considerate to others, being a servant is not a weakness. Having this love for others as we follow this new commandment of Jesus is a strength in our lives, a response to understanding and giving thanks to God. There was one other prayer station that we had this past week at the altar rail, a bowl of water set on a red cloth. And in this bowl, we were invited to place a folded paper flower. And this paper flower would open up. And this showed, well, could show, the transformation we have in our lives when we allow ourselves to be open to the great love of God that God has for us all. The transformation of the cross and the resurrected Christ. The beauty of transformation when we have Jesus, God the Father, the Holy Spirit in our lives. It helps us to flourish and grow. That is why we give thanks. And we will do so soon as we share in the Eucharistic meal of bread and wine. Amen.